Welcome to the Irish Pagan School podcast. Your hosts are authors and co-founders of the Irish Pagan School here in County Waterford, Ireland, Laura O'Brien and John O'Sullivan. Fáilte.
Hello, this is myself, Laura O'Brien from the Irish Pagan School, and I'm here with one of our esteemed teachers, Geraldine Merkins-Byrne. And we're here, I'm just going to give you a little brief overview. And I wanted to ask Geraldine a few questions about the classes that she teaches for us at the Irish Pagan School. So when you come to the irishpaganschool.com home page, you can, you know, you click on anything and you'll get to the home page. And then if you just scroll down, I mean, maybe something in the featured courses, but they change all the time. But if you go into view all products, then what you'll see here is the searchable like category page. And this is really how you can navigate. We have a lot of courses at the Irish Pagan School. So what you can do is go onto the drop down menu and you can actually search by author or teacher. So we're going to click on Geraldine's name here. And what I was realizing is we actually have six classes by Geraldine. So we're very lucky, really. You're very lucky to have the wealth of experience being taught to you here by Geraldine. So what we have here on screen is an introduction to Rosk poetry, Dríocht Ciúil, Reading the Fire, Irish Traditions of Divination, Seat of Power, Modern Urban Paganism, Hexing and Warding, Two Sides of the Same Coin, and Celebrating Life and Death, Authentic Irish Life Rites and Milestones. This is a real slice of you, Ger, isn't it?
Like, it is.
This is kind of like everything I've known you for.
Yeah, this is everything in one handy graphic right there. Absolutely.
And what would be your favorite? Like, what did you... Now, I know they're all very close to your heart, but...
They are. That's the problem. It is hard. I mean, the Dríocht Ciúil and the Rosk, I see as very linked because primarily what I would have done my whole life is sound and music and word and its use as power. So that's really, that would probably be very fundamental. The urban paganism one is very close to my heart because probably that's what I would practice on a daily basis. So, and that was probably the first time I've ever just sat down and gone, well, this is urban paganism. This is what it is for me and in Irish tradition to be in this. But that was actually really good for me as well as like teaching it, because it's sometimes, you know, you get to kind of codify what you do and you get to explore what you do when you're trying to explain it to somebody else.
Absolutely. And we learn by teaching. Like, it's so true.
And then, I mean, what I love is the questions and answers at the end. Like, that I love that part of it, because people will come up with things no matter how well prepared you think you are. And it will be a completely different point of view or take on something. And again, you have to expand, you learn, you have to. And sometimes you don't know yourself what the answer is until you ask the question, you know. But I like the practical stuff as well. I mean, I love like anything practical. I like doing the fire reading and the divination, and I like doing the hexing and the warding.
Absolutely. And the hexing and the warding actually came from one of our other videos on the YouTube channel, really. Now, it's something that we've wanted to teach at the school for a long time. But a lot of the practical stuff, you know, when we were thinking like back in 2016, 2017, we're kind of planning the Irish Pagan School, you know, we always knew we wanted it to be more than just me and John. But we were kind of going by topic and then figuring out who to get to teach it after that, you know. When we started, but like the practical side of things was something that we really wanted to integrate, but there was a lot of kind of theory that had to happen first, you know. Because so many of our students are completely new to Irish culture, Irish history, you know, basics of paganism, like, and everything. So I'm really excited now to be getting into that kind of depth with, you know, hexing and warding and that kind of, like, you know, both cursing and protection are such a strong and integral part of Irish folk magic, Irish tradition, our festival traditions, you know.
Our culture.
Our culture, it really absolutely is. Yeah. So I just loved it. And I love that that we have the Life Rights, you know, that I'm one of the co-founders of Pagan Life Rights. And that whole idea of us in service roles, you know, whether you call yourself a priest or not, or whatever it is, you know, like if you're in that kind of community service role and you have the honor of facilitating somebody's life milestones, whether that be birth, marriage or death, you know, or anything in between. But like just having somebody who can facilitate that kind of modern ceremony, but still keep it really, really true to our traditions. Like I can't sing your praises enough, Jack.
Oh, well, thank you. But I would also sing your praises, because none of this would happen because unless you and John had put this together. And there are a lot of things that are in danger of being lost. And it's not that you want millions of people practicing them or you know what I mean? But there is wisdom out there in the things we did in the past. There is a danger of them just getting lost and just getting kind of co-opted into the general Wiccanness and the general New Age-iness. And if we can pass that on, if we can record it, if we can have even encourage people, even if it just inspires people to go and research these things, because you can't cover everything in an hour or 2 hours. But you can give them the tools to go out and do it.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing I love about the IPS, I really love, is you're building up like a record. You're building up a record of everything that people have been exploring, what people have done in the past, what people are doing now in a modern sense, and the two are being linked. And that's a blueprint, you know, and hopefully will remain a blueprint for people. It's so accessible, you know.
Yeah. Well, when you think about the, like, the laughingly call them the resources that would have been available to us, like when we kind of first, when we first found the internet and all of that, you know,
and
like everything from those really, really sparkly angel fire websites to the Yahoo groups where I believe I first met you, and, you know, the, even back before that, the forums and channels and all sorts of stuff. And just like we have come so far. And I think actually, as you're saying it, the Irish Pagan School probably started because, like, well, for a lot of different reasons, but definitely one of the reasons was I was doing the interviews on my original YouTube channel. I don't know if you remember, but years ago. And I was doing those interviews where I wanted to really like capture, you know, Irish people's individual expressions and experience of paganism. And like that playlist is still up there as well, on the OHM Academy YouTube channel, as it is now. But I haven't taken anything down, but it really opened my eyes. And I think that's where a lot of the seeds for the Irish Pagan School actually started, you know, where
right there.
Yeah, was just like wanting, because it was never supposed to be about me or John, you know. And now obviously we had to, you know, we had to lead the charge kind of thing, you know, and like certainly in the beginning, like a lot of the content was just mine, you know, and John was more behind the scenes, and that flipped then. And, you know, we're trying to kind of find a balance between that, but like trying to get other teachers up, and just looking at your six courses here, I'm just so pleased like that we have that value and that wealth of experience and, you know, the expression of our traditions, because we all make a difference, you know, we all do it different. We all make a difference.
And
like whether people are pagan or not, there's so much to learn from those living traditions that we still have.
There is. It's all about you. I think religion changes, spirituality changes. And I do say this a lot when you're looking at particularly the last 400 to 500 years of folk practices and traditions. There's no point in kidding yourself. These were Catholic peasants, you know, and they would have identified as Catholic and they would have been very devout in their lives.
Yeah.
They weren't pagan. And there's no point in trying to superimpose this on that past. But that belief in the ability to navigate this world in a certain way, that never changed. And that is, it's irrelevant, really, what religion happens to be. Either the current religion or the one that you practice, whatever. Really, those ways, that was how people who had very, very little managed to get through, to make life a little bit easier, to just keep everything going, to get the wheels turning, not to fall foul of anything. Mm-hmm. And they were much more aware of, and they lived in much closer relationship with things that are beyond our ken. You know what I mean? We yeah. sit in our little boxes now and we're very safe and sound. And they really had to rely on not upsetting things and keeping things going. We can all learn from that. And yeah, to have that. And you, I mean, I look at some of the courses you've done, like, I mean, Tara's course with the herbs and things. This is stuff that is invaluable. It has to be maintained. It really, really does. And the more it can be saved and the more it can be just given to people, the better chance we have that people will find authenticity.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, there's a big responsibility, as you're saying there. You know, I was kind of thinking like there's a guardianship role as well, you know, to a lot of this, where we, you know, and I mean, you've heard it. We get a lot of people, if we put any kind of boundaries around how this stuff kind of can or can't be used or should be used, or, you know, what the best practice is for authentically connecting rather than just, you know, putting your own stamp on things and calling it Irish when it's actually not. You know, and we get a lot of that. But when we put any kind of boundaries around it, like, you know, even to the point where, like, these traditions, they're not closed. You know, it's not a closed culture by any means. Obviously, we have a whole school about it. Anybody can take a class, right? But there are still kind of rules of engagement, if you like, that you have to respect the tradition that it comes from. You have to respect the culture. You have to respect the native voices. So it's maybe semi-closed or semi-open, you know, to some respect. But, like, you get accused then of like gatekeeping and all the rest. And the idea of actually preserving this, I never really thought of it for posterity.
I have probably said this before, and maybe it wasn't understood in the context, but I have no problem gatekeeping. Accuse me of it. Go ahead, accuse me. Because, yeah, I am bloody well gatekeeping. I believe... Listen, I'm primarily a historian at heart. You know what I mean? I believe that we have to understand not what we think happened, but what really happened.
Yeah.
And I was lucky in my education that I had lecturers and I had people who drilled into us. There, you go look at the evidence, not at what you hope the evidence will show you. And that is a life lesson, you know, if you look at politics, or you look at anything around you, you should be looking at the reality.
Yeah.
When people come in and they want to say, oh, yeah, I love Ireland. I love this. I love that. But I don't actually like the reality. Then you do not love us, and you do not like our culture, and you don't want our history. And our traditions are wasted on you, because what you want is a fantasy. Now, I have no problem with people having UPG. We all have our own personal interpretations and our own personal experiences.
Of course.
But if you think that, if you take anything, a deity, a practice, a tradition, anything, and you say, oh, no, that's not what it is. It's this thing over here. No, I have no problem with the word no, 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 it's not, no, you're wrong. You know what I mean? Like, my kids do a thing which is wrong, 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 wrong. And I do this in my head an alarming amount of the time when I'm reading stuff. I'm just like, wrong. If you cannot, listen, if I go to learn something from someone who knows something, I listen. If you can't do that, if the noise in your own head is so loud that you're going, no, no, but I want it to be like this. You're not going to learn.
Yeah.
You know,
you're only listening so you can speak, you know, you're not actually engaging with anything, you know. And that's bad in relationships. It's bad in it's bad in Facebook groups.
Yes. Yeah. It's when, you know, I'm sorry if the middle of my sentence interrupted the beginning of yours. You know what I mean? Like, you need to shut up for a minute. But, and I have to say, I think we have to have immense sympathy with our our cousins who have emigrated, who are the children and the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren of people who have emigrated. And I do. I do. But I also have immense sympathy and affinity with the person who has no DNA link to Ireland, doesn't have any like family link or whatever, but who is drawn to or interested in. And I find it ironic that it is often that person who has more respect than the people who say they have a genetic link, and it drives me batty.
Absolutely. And like, if you believe in any kind of like transmigration of the soul or anything, like, who's to say that those people don't have just as much of a connection, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and it goes back to the teaching and the classes and building a class and presenting a class. You're trying to find a common ground so that someone watching it is, could be coming to this with very little knowledge or of, and I mean of Irish culture. I mean, they could have immense knowledge in their own, but, you know, or someone could be sitting there who studied it for years and is very well versed, because you have to speak to the person without the connection as much as the person with the connection. And that is a challenge. But when you try to do that, again, I think it, it opens it up to everybody. And the person who thinks they know a lot might learn something actually from the person asking that, what, you know, the question out of left field. Oh, I don't know that. Like that. So even among, when you're like, one person is sitting there in front of a camera, and as I often say, I can talk. I have no problem, you know, so I've been banging away and giving information. But it's often the most valuable bit is the students when they interact and come up with something and ask you something. That's where really everybody learns, you know, and that's the vibrant moment, you know.
Absolutely,
that's the creative moment.
I love that. I love that. And I love the, like, I always talk about approaching things with a beginner's mind, you know, and really, especially as a teacher, I think it's so important to really kind of try and reset yourself, because like, I know you're probably the same as me, but like, studying this stuff for years and years and years, like, we have, you know, the three pillars of Irish paganism. So we learn, we experience, we integrate, but that's a cycle, like, that's a spiral, you know. And every time you finish one of those cycles, you go back and you start to learn again. You learn something new, even if it's exactly the same material, the same lore, the same story, the same content, the same relationships, the same sacred sites, you know. Every time you go through that cycle, you have learned something, you have had an experience, and you have then integrated it. And those are three essential equal pillars, I think, you know. Because without any one of those, you know, your stool has fallen over. Hello, this is Laura O'Ryan, and I want to make sure that you get access to our free gift for you, which is the Roots and Reverence Ancestral Connection Toolkit. So this is a 5-day guided exploration, which will be delivered to you free over email series, and it's as enlightening as it is grounding. It's designed for anyone who feels a kinship with Irish paganism, whether you carry Ireland in your blood, your heart, or the soul memories of lifetime past. There is no cost, only the promise of authentic connection to Ireland, as ever from us. So go to irishpagan.school/roots, that's R-O-O-T-S, to get your ancestral connection toolkit. And again, it's all free, delivered free over 5 days. There's resources, there's exercises, there's connection, there's all sorts of cool stuff. So I hope you enjoy that. It is our free gift to you for being a valued podcast member. So back to the episode.
No, and you come back to it as a different person. I mean, who I was at 20, who I was at 30 or 35, and who I am at 54 are radically different people, of which I'm very glad. I'm glad I didn't remain the way I was. But what I understood at 20, what is different completely from what I understand now. And this material that, like, I absorbed like a sponge back then, that I would have to plow through now, but what I'll get out of it could be much deeper and very, very different. Yeah. And if you are there and you go, I've done that, it's done, I did it once, I've done it. That there's a finality to that that closes down growth and learning.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You have to come back to it as another person. Yeah. And then you learn more out of life and things happen and you get, and then you come back to it again.
Yeah.
You're a different person. Yeah. And, you know, and what you learn changes from the same pool. It'll change every time. Yeah. You know, we change.
Yeah, absolutely. I find that we're in the middle of, like, we're 3 months into a 6 month run of the Morrigan Intensive, which runs once every year. From 2014, like, it's been running, you know, so, like, I've a good experience with the material now. I've refreshed the whole material this year, but even doing that, you know, having to reframe everything that I've learned since 2014, everything that I've taught in the course, and kind of, you know, put it into a clearer system, really, was what I was trying to do this year, which I think is successful. But every single year, and I say it to the students every single year, I'm doing the program. I'm not just teaching it, or, you know, I'm not just here to answer your questions. I actually go through that work every single year. I find that it's part of, like, my devotion to the Morrigan, the goddess that I work for. It's actually essential. And the things that have happened to me as part of that Morrigan Intensive, like, have been so destructive sometimes. So, like, you know, it's a case of burn everything down and we're starting again, you know?
Yeah.
So when we come to kind of signing people up or enrolling people in May or June every year, you know, what I have to tell them is, like, this is, because I'm speaking from experience, you know, this is an intense, like, that's why it's called an intensive. This is intense work. And again, you know, finding that kind of cycles again and again and again. There's some years where it's like, I've never done it before, you know?
Yeah.
And it's brand new. There's some years where I'm kind of, you know, okay, yeah, maybe, like, I'm in a good place and I don't have a huge, like, epiphany learning to do this year. But then I'll have had those experiences. So when I meet somebody who does, or when I'm teaching somebody who does, I know what to do, you know, but I have to approach it every single year as if it's my first time, you know?
Yeah.
And
yes. And when you stop doing that, something bad has happened, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, true. I think I get slapped if I stop doing that. Oh, you're not, you don't have to do the work now. Is that where we're at?
Let me explain to you how you can. Yes, yeah. Well, for
me, let me take away everything you value.
now will you do the work? Well, for me, my version of that would probably be Imramic meditation. Like, sometimes, you know, because it's been such a part of my life for so long, sometimes I find it's like, it's almost, I take it for granted. It's grand. And then that's when I have to stop. That's when I have to regroup. And that's when I have to start again and really experience. And as you say, come back to it as a beginner, as a starter. Yeah. And every time that has happened, it's because it was something I needed to learn about myself that I wasn't learning, and I was glossing over because I was glib. And when I, you know, when you get glib in any practice, you're skating on a very thin ice surface.
Absolutely.
You know? It really, sooner or later, it'll come back to bite you. So I have learned from experience. Mm. So now I stop and I come back. And I breathe and I start again.
Reset,
and every time there's a reward, I would say, every time you find out something about what's happening, who you are, what you need to do. So it's hard, but,
you know. Look, nobody ever said this work was going to be easy. And there's so much, like, say, within, you know, neo-pagan spirituality or new age spirituality that is packaged as very easy, you know, and it's not a promise we've ever made at the Irish Pagan School, you know. And, like, we had an experience where she ended up not being a teacher for us, but one of, like, a very experienced practitioner that I know here in Ireland, you know, she would have been, I can't remember whether she was taking a class or something, but she was like, you know, everything I thought I knew is, I have to just start again. I have to, like, completely go back, you know. And it was something about, like, I was talking about going back to the mythology and, you know, building your practice and actually experimenting and experience and to kind of fill whatever gaps are there, you know, rather than working with a system and trying to kind of retrofit it.
Yeah.
To Irish, you know, native Irish stuff, you know, and within the Irish pagan landscape, certainly there's a lot of that where, you know, in the 80s and the 90s, we had all these Druid orders and, you know, Celtic shamanism and, you know, and those were kind of like the good side of things.
Yeah.
They were the better side of things.
I know.
So people were looking at the absolute shite, you know, the Celtic magic and the Witta and the 12 lessons of Merlin and all that shit. And they were looking at all that. And then they were seeing stuff like Celtic shamanism or the Druids, you know, the Druid order stuff. I'm specifically not naming names, but everybody knows who I'm talking about. You know? And Irish people were so hungry. Like, and we watched it happen. You did and I did. Mm. No. We watched it happen. We watched people try, like, take on these kind of these package systems and then try and integrate it into our native land and traditions, you know?
And we can't. And as you know, I made people unhappy mm-hmm. in the 90s by mm-hmm. verbalizing this.
Yeah.
And like, I received quite a lot of backlash from people.
Absolutely.
Which I don't mind. I understand why. Yeah. But. And it slightly amuses me sometimes now when I see this some of the same people and they are now fully preaching like return to the source and everything. And I'm going, mm-hmm. Anytime you want to, about anytime.
Yeah, yeah. I'm right here.
Right here. But seriously though, I like our culture was ripped apart. A lot of things were taken from us. And then there is a weird snobbery that you see, particularly when you look at the 60s and 70s, a kind of an almost apology for being Irish, like wishing we weren't Irish. We were Now, I would admit I was lucky. I grew up in a household where like being Irish is God's gift to the world. Mm-hmm. And you feel slightly sorry for anyone who doesn't live here, like just very slightly. God help them. But I saw it in my friends. I had friends who had, say, English relatives, and they were like, oh, I'd be so embarrassed in front of them. And you'd be like, what? Mm. And you know, people just, we had an inferiority complex
for many
years.
And, you know, we came by that, honestly, like in fairness, you know, our culture was literally being bet out of us for generations.
Absolutely.
Sometimes and we were by our own parents.
Now, you see, well, and see, they did it to us and then we perpetrated it. Mm. We perpetuated it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I totally understand why people literally seized on what seemed to be Irish. I mean, people went like they were Golden Dawn was Irish. And you go, no, that was ascendancy. That an Anglo-Irish, there was nothing to do with our native traditions. But you understand why people felt like, oh, here's something I can have. And the trouble is they were packaged and glib and easily accessible. And a real tradition, cultural traditions are messy and complicated, nuanced and difficult and require research and require effort. And yeah, you can understand when, particularly when you're young, when you're anywhere between the ages, maybe you're 16 and 30, when someone goes to you, well, you can have this messy heart or you can have this lovely, you're going to grab the package. You're going to grab the brightly lit. And it came with books. It came with books and websites and I understand.
And card decks.
Yes, I understand it. I do. But as I say, my inbox is open for retrospective apologies. You know, anyone who wants to say, God, you were right. And I wish I had done the work. I'm here for it. Not a problem.
Yeah. But, and also they can take your classes at the Irish Pagan School. If they
absolutely.
Want to do the work.
They can take any class at the Irish Pagan School, I have to say, and do the work. Because I think it is worth mentioning, you do an awful lot of free content.
We do.
Free. People could work their way through the free content, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And get a lot out of it and still be doing the work, you know? And
I think we have something like 250 videos just on the Irish Pagan School YouTube channel now.
Yeah.
You know, we have podcast, we have the blog, we have, you know, and then there's my old content as well.
Yeah.
Plus all this, there's six, I think six currently free classes at the Irish Pagan School, plus the resources checklist, plus the email course, the three pillars of Irish Paganism email course. And
blog content and videos like this. All of this stuff is there. And, you know, I understand, like, if people curate even the classes that they buy, there is enough there for them to actually do the work. You know what I mean? Get in there, get started.
Yeah.
Really, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But look, the truth, you know, that people always make up myths and you go, you know, reality is actually glorious. You know, have a look at look at the reality of our culture and our messy history and our traditions. I say to people, go look at Dukas and look at the same basic superstition or pishog or a story even being retold in different parishes as if it happened in each parish. Look at the glory of that. Look at the sheer, like, we have a nation divided by, I mean, oppressed, their language taken from them, their literature stripped, their practices taken up, like, and yet we managed to retain all of this stuff, to spread it, to make stories out of it, to make art out of it, to make music out of it. And we kept it. Like, that's freaking glorious. Like,
it is.
So, and it does require effort, but it's so much better than the package.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're amazing. Right. We're going to end that here. We have talked about being guardians and, you know, gatekeepers and actual relationship with the real traditions. And I really want to kind of end it on that note, because that's what we're here for. And I hope that people do check out your classes at the Irish Pagan School. I'll put a link below to all of this, everything that's been mentioned, including Dukas. I'll remember to put the Dukas link in as well, so people can actually go and do the work for themselves.
Yes.
So,
and if they take a class, like, I know that looking at the recording, they can ask me any question. Yeah. I will always answer. Like, it might take me a couple of days, but I will answer.
Yeah, yeah. And we have, for the students at the Irish Pagan School, we have the Facebook group as well, which, like, we're, you know, we're all very active in. So there is a student group for all of the classes. So, so there's always somebody on hand to answer a question in real time, you know, so.
Go for it.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I will see you next time. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a positive review in your podcast listener. Then head over to irishpaganschool.com and enroll in one of our free or paid courses. Sláinte fáil, and we will see you next time.